Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Minisode Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hey everyone, I forgot to learn a Monday song for today. I got out of dress rehearsal at midnight last night, and it got away from me. So that was the song that we learned in preschool to learn the days of the week that for some reason I still remember. There you go.
Thank you for that walk down memory lane.
You're welcome.
How are you today?
I'm great. I'm a little tired, but I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm also great. A little tired, but I'm pretty good.
Heck.
Yeah. Yes. Honestly, I feel like compared to the last couple of minisodes where I have been mentally, it's definitely an upswing. You guys have been keeping along with my journey, doing well.
If you've been charting Lena's mental and emotional state throughout these minisodes, make that line go up this week.
For real? Someone sent us a message this week that said something to me, and it was like, and then they ended it with, "Lena, don't cry." And I was like, is this who these people think I am? They are right.
In fairness to that person, I don't think they said it in that tone.
I'm sure they didn't.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred. And you know, some about me you may not know is that I'm a mini Gleek.
Hey, what's up, you guys? My name is Lena Knatzer, something you probably definitely know about me. I'm very upfront and open. I'm a mini Gleek.
The best.
The best.
While we're on the topic of songs in preschool to learn things, I also learned the days of the month by doing the Macarena.
Ooh, do it for us.
January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, months of the year. Hey, January, February. That's how I learned it.
I love that. I never learned this.
It was for like a solid year of my life where I would have to do the Macarena to figure out what month was coming next.
Whoa. That's really crazy. Did you learn the knuckle trick with
months? Which ones have 30 and which ones have 31? 100%.
I do that all the time.
I still use that.
I'm like, it is June. How many days are in June? Because I could say, hey, let's chat on June 31st, but even is there a June 31st?
No.
No.
My knuckles tell me there isn't.
Yeah. And how does it work out so well? I don't know.
That is proof that there is a God.
Honestly, because there are like, two peaks when you cross wrists.
He was like, these beings need to know. I know that they're going to create their own calendar and that it's going to have some days with 30 and some with 31.
It's arbitrary and who did that?
So I'm going to give them knuckles so that they can tell the difference.
Thank you, God. Oh my goodness gracious. Are you ready to get into this minisode?
I was born ready.
Hells yeah. All right. Up first, kicking us off, minisode 27. We have a voicemail from Chris.
Hello, it's Chris, she, they. I present to you my Howard Bamboo swan song. Howard Bamboo, Howard Bamboo, these lovely little cliques bid you adieu. Howard Bamboo, Howard Bamboo, here's a little mini kiss for you. Mwah! Alright, that was it. I hope you'll have a wonderful day. Please don't make fun of my singing. I'm not classically trained in music. Thank you. Mwah!
These lovely little gleeks bid you adieu.
Chris, Lena and I were talking about this song. And how when we first listened to it, it started and it was like, oh, this is a fun idea. And then we were both shocked by how well it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, lyrically, it's beautiful. It's a work of art.
Yeah.
It's a very fitting swan song for our lovely Zaddy Bamboo.
Zaddy Bamboo only deserves the best. And Chris, you truly gave that to him. And I will never be able to repay you for the gift you have given this podcast.
These lovely little gleeks. Howard Bamboo, these lovely little gleeks bid you adieu. Chris, I might be messing up the melody.
Yeah, I think
Howard
you are.
Bamboo, Howard Bamboo, Howard Bamboo, here's a little mini kiss for you. Love you, Howard.
Wow.
See you in season 6.
A cover of Chris's song so soon after Chris gave it to us. So kind of you. Chris, thank you so much for that amazing gift. Thank you so much. Up next, we have a voicemail from Brandon.
Hey guys, this is Brandon here from Columbus, Ohio. He, him. I was wondering if you guys knew that the reason why Sue's sister was written out of the show was because she was sick. I believe she had some form of Alzheimer's and it was getting bad. It might have been dementia. I honestly can't remember. I looked it up years ago, trying to figure out if the actual person had passed, and she hadn't at the time. Also, there's an AfterBuzz TV interview with Ian Brennan, and he's talking about the auditions. And he basically said they were kind of low on material, so they basically had their best singers come in and sing, especially because, and he brought up the fact that Mercedes didn't have a lot this season because they were trying to add on to the new character of like Santana. So that's the reason for that scene. All right, guys, I'm running low on time. Bye.
Brandon, thank you so much for pointing this out. This is not even something that had occurred to me at all. And then we ended up getting a couple messages about this. So, yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I looked it up and confirmed it. And she, Robin Trockey, did have Alzheimer's disease, and she ended up passing away December 14th, 2019.
I do know a very sweet story about this.
Yeah.
That is a massive spoiler for like season 4.
Okay.
So skip about a minute. Sue, as we know, those of us who are still around, has a baby in season 4, and it's the dumbest thing that Glee ever did. But the baby she has is named Robin, after Robin Trockey.
Really?
And they, like, brought the baby that played her baby on the show, they, like, brought it to Robin to meet her, and Robin was pretty far into her Alzheimer's,
yeah.
And so she met the baby and kept calling it her niece. And just like identified the baby as like, oh, this is my niece. And yeah, it's very cute.
That is so sweet.
Also very spoilery.
Yeah, very spoilery.
On the other side of things, Brandon, it bothers me that Ian Brennan was like, you know, we just couldn't fit enough stuff in for Mercedes because we're fleshing out Santana, when it's like, okay, then take something away from Rachel. Take something away from Finn. Like, you have these characters that are, I 100% am supportive of them focusing more on, like, Santana.
Yeah, totally.
And Brittany, and these characters that were, like, more tertiary in the first season. But, like, Rachel had more than enough to do this season. Yeah. They could have taken away a third of her plot lines and given some more screen time to Mercedes, totally. And Rachel still would have been the main character.
Totally. Ian Brennan's such a silly goose. Like, running low on material is so funny, especially, like, how this season ends. Like, there's so many, like loose ends, like, very quickly tied up in the end of this mm-hmm. season. That's so interesting. Listen, I'm glad they had the audition because I really like it.
It's my favorite part of the episode. Honestly. It's fantastic.
And I feel like that is, like, a good way to fill time, definitely. Mm-hmm. So I understand their reasoning, and I think it's a good yeah. thing, and I love it. But Ian Brennan's a silly goose.
Honestly. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first, you guys. Ian Brennan is a silly goose.
And you can put that on the record.
Well, Brandon, thank you so much for telling us that. Both those things. Both good facts. I like to know. Up next, we have a voicemail from friend of the podcast, Kirsten.
Hi, besties. It's Kirsten. I just wanted to send in a voicemail because I feel very passionately about the Jean, Becky, Sue of it all when it comes to Glee. My older brother has physical and intellectual disabilities, and I've worked with and been around the Down syndrome community my whole life, so I'm really passionate about fighting ableism. You mentioned that Jean feels like a plot device, so that Sue was unable to interfere with the Glee Club making it to New York, and I completely agree. I've always sort of felt icky about the way the writers use both Becky and Jean as tools to further other characters' arcs or to make the story make sense. Eventually, Becky does sort of come into her own further in the TV show, but the comparison of the Glee Club to Jean as an outcast feels like the writers were putting Jean in an ableist stereotype of someone who can't make connections with other people just so they could reinforce that the Glee Club is full of quote-unquote outcasts. I don't know. It makes me feel icky. The disabled community is capable of making connections and having friends, and the writers were playing on that stereotype, and I don't like it. That's all. Love you. Bye.
Kirsten, thank you so much for this message. Completely agree 100%. These writers very much, it's just like such a big problem the show has that they use like the situations of someone's life to motivate their main characters and kind of just disregard yeah. the actual person right. who is going through that situation. And it's the worst. It's yeah. so annoying. So thank you for these thoughts, Kirsten.
Definitely. And while that, like, with Robin specifically, she got written off of the show for health reasons. I still think the show mistreats her.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it is like them killing off Jean. Turns out it wasn't motivated yeah. by like needing to have Sue have a heel turn. It was very much like this actor can't continue to play this part.
Yeah.
That does not erase the two seasons before this mm-hmm. where Jean was just used as Sue's plot device and to give Sue depth without really being a character herself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Also, hi, Kirsten. Kirsten's a very good friend of ours.
Yeah, I love you.
And I ran into her the other day and I told her how funny it was. Maybe I'll cut this out. I don't know if this is
interesting.
But I
want to hear the story.
I ran into her the other day and I told her how funny it was how she left the voicemail and at no point acknowledged that she knew us at all. And she... I mean, shout out to Kirsten. She was like, I'm sorry, I just got so nervous. I was talking about something that's so important to me and yeah. I wanted to make sure I said everything I wanted to say.
Aww,
so Kirsten, you did a good job.
Yeah.
Also love you very much.
Absolutely. Love you, Kirsten. Up next, we have an email from Kay.
Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Kay, she, they, and I'm a mini Gleek. Why do I have to burp right now? I swear this happens every time I read an email.
Ew, who burps ever?
I don't. No. Not us. Never.
It's because our bodies are so long.
The burps get trapped. They can't find their way to our mouths. Speaking of, that burp literally couldn't find its way to my mouth. It's gone now.
Yesterday during, I had a freaking performance of Comedy of Errors and I was like, I got a burp. Oh no.
That is.
Oh no. And it was like painful. Like right under my boob. No, that sounds like it was in my heart. I meant that to be funny. Like, it was definitely in my esophagus. You know what I mean?
Kay, I'm so sorry. One second. I was in a show one time. I don't know what was happening, but every time I got on stage, I would have to burp so bad. It was Urinetown.
I remember you speaking to me about this.
What?
I remember you talking to me about
this. Oh, well.
He's like, I had bad burp problems.
Yeah, then. I don't know what was going on. And I was a character named Lockstock, who's like the narrator of the show. So I had monologues all the time. And my body would always be like, you know what would spice up this monologue? A burp. And so I would just either try to push past it, or if it got really bad, I'd be like, where's a discreet place where I could just be like, ugh, and then keep going.
I usually try and do an inside burp when I'm on stage. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Where you just like keep your mouth closed and then it evaporates back down into your lungs.
I love watching people inside burp because you can always see it. It's always like, like they're popping and locking.
You know, that's a good segue because Kay's entire email is about inside burps.
It's definitely not, Kay. This is very disrespectful to your email. I'm very sorry.
Okay, thank you for emailing. We are going back to your email now.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. My name is Kay Shide, and I'm a mini geek. Your episode on Funeral was great, and you have such interesting perspectives on the plot. I want to add some of my thoughts as well. Lena, I absolutely agree with your perspective on Jean, and I never really gave much thought to the implications of what the writers do to her character and how they write her as a whole. In my honest opinion, I don't really believe the writers have the nuance it takes to write a character like Jean and give her a real storyline. Though I would have liked to have seen a plot that focused more on Sue as a catalyst for a Jean plot instead of the other way around, and more Jean and Sue moments in general, I don't think the writers would have ever done something with Jean beyond her being a plot point for Sue. Even with Becky, it took a while for the writers to really transform her into a real character, and even then, they do a lot of really weird stuff with her character in the later seasons that I hate. If the writers never had a plan to do something bigger with Jean's character, I think we're much better off than the alternative of them stepping into a topic that they do not have the resources mm-hmm. to put a decent amount of care Absolutely. And thought into. Yeah, yeah. I also have some thoughts on the Jesse St. James of it all. While I do agree that yes, he is awful to everybody in this episode, I think some of his feedback is valid. After Mercedes sings, he gives a criticism that she is lazy and is not committed enough to practicing for the role of lead singer for Nationals. While I hate the way he says it, and I super hate people calling Mercedes lazy, I do think that because she is so self-assured, as she should be, in her talent, it can lead to her not believing in the value of practice, as she literally says she doesn't have to practice. The fact is, every artist has to practice their art, no matter how good they are. I never noticed it before, but this part is great foreshadowing for Mercedes' arc in season 3, such as advocating for her talents and cementing herself as a pillar of the New Directions. Finally, I'm surprised you didn't talk about how completely ill-timed the Finn breakup was. They were literally at a funeral, but for whatever reason, Finn felt that he had to pull the plug with Quinn. Looking back on everything that happened to Quinn in the last 2 seasons, though yes, a huge chunk of it was her own doing, but I forgive her! Makes me completely understand why she basically, no spoilers, becomes the Joker in the next season. She had no choice.
She didn't.
I love your show so much. It sincerely makes me lactate with joy. I'm beyond excited to hear you guys discuss New York in season 3, my favorite season. I wish you even more happiness than you make me feel on Mondays and Wednesdays. I leave you with an offer of forehead kisses. Take it or leave it, Kay.
I take them, Kay.
I Thank do, you. Too.
All right, let's go down this list here.
I offer you an apology for our conversation about Literally. Inside burps. Take it or leave it.
Kay, I'm so sorry. Okay, to address the ill-timed Finn breakup, I agree. But have you ever, like, known people in life to, like, get divorced around the time that one of their family members pass away?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like something about, like, the finality of a funeral, mm-hmm. like, makes people, like, make huge decisions like that. Yes. Like, life is so final, I'm not doing this anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, super ill-timed. Finn is a total butthead for doing it. Quinn definitely becomes the Joker because of this. But that sure happens, you know?
It is like, and I mean, there is the thing where it's like, you don't want to stay in a relationship with someone when you're not into it and yeah. you're just like leading them on. But also like, maybe wait a day.
Oh, I know.
Like you just walked out of a funeral. Maybe wait until the next day.
Yeah, you're in the parking lot. You're going to make her walk home.
Yeah, like, come on.
I know. Freaking, Freaking Finn. Freaking Finn.
Finn Hudson. Finn Hud sucks.
Whoa! Have you said that before?
No.
I like it.
Thank you.
How long have you been planning that? Be honest.
Right in this moment.
Oh, an improv king.
An improv king. What can I say?
I love that. I love that. I also agree on the Jesse St. James and the Mercedes of it all. I think it is some valid criticism, but also never be mean to her, please.
My problem with that is I 100% agree, Kay, that like as Mercedes is written, she doesn't value practice. And like that is an issue. And that's why Rachel gets more acknowledgement from Will is because Rachel's the hardest worker in the club. Mm-hmm. But it bothers me because I'm like, the writers are just writing that to justify exactly. giving Lea Michele screen time.
Exactly.
Like, Mercedes 100% could be written as someone who works hard. The writers just recognize that Amber Riley is incredibly talented and it does not make sense that Lea Michele is given so much more to do than her. And so they write in this thing about Mercedes not being a hard worker to try and justify the screen time.
And I'm going to say it here and now. They don't say that about Santana or Kurt. That it feels like a cop-out to call mm-hmm. our plus-size character lazy.
Well, also our black character
exactly.
lazy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
It is. It's a little dubious.
It's super dubious.
A little dubious. But thank you, Kay.
Yeah, Kay. Great thoughts. Thank you so much for sharing them. Up next, we have a voicemail from Claire.
Hey y'all, it's Claire, she, her from Texas, and I have a lot of thoughts about the solo competition. So y'all talked about how Kurt didn't have like the power, the beltiness of Ethel or Patty, but I really like to think that he put his own spin on it. So his whole thing with singing women's songs is that they're inherently going to sound different being sung by a man, and I think that's entirely the point. You know, Kurt was creative, he brought his own spin on some people. And yes, he used head voice instead of belting, but it gives the song like a different tone and a different flavor. And this is contrasted with Rachel, who essentially just copied Barbara note for note, like choice for choice. And while she does sound amazing, she is just being Barbara. And you can say what you want about talent, but when it comes to how they perform their chosen songs, Kurt was much more original and creative. Kurt made original choices, whereas Rachel was just Barbara. So those are just my thoughts. Bye!
Claire, I agree fully. Especially with inside burp problem. Pardon me. Especially oh, when
they're taking over the podcast.
It's early in the morning. It's fully noon. It's not early in the morning. I agree with this, especially the Kurt thing. Specific, like, because we've already been over that he sings songs written specifically for women, and like we're over that. So of course they're gonna sound different, and like that's okay, you know. Like, mm-hmm. and expecting him to sound like Patti LuPone. It's not going to happen. No one sounds like Patti LuPone, except for you.
Except for me when I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
But when I try to, I don't sound like Patti LuPone.
Sure. But, you know, I agree with that take. Like, of course it sounds different. It's Kurt. And, you know, and that's a fun thing about, like, singing in general is I think, like, to get your own spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's super cool.
Claire, I understand your perspective, and I think it is a very good perspective. I still wish that he had either. I wish that either he had belted it, or I wish that if he was doing a different take on it, that like it had been a different take. You
sure.
know, like when Rachel and Shelby do, which like, why is a mother and daughter singing Poker Face? But like when they do Poker Face, like it is a different take. Like the whole song feels different. Mm-hmm. But this, like, the orchestration, the sound of the song is very the same. Like the vibes he's going for acting wise is very the same as like how the song is traditionally done. It's just his tone is different. And I wish that if he was going to do a different like take on it, that it had sure. been a more holistic take than it was.
Sure.
But I completely get what you're saying. And I especially get what you're saying with like, you know, Rachel doing a Barbra Streisand impression.
That's true. She truly does.
Yeah.
And she like even does like a Barbra voice and like mm-hmm. like the way that she says her vowels. It's
yeah.
very Barbra mm-hmm. for sure. Well, Claire. Thanks heaps. Up next, we have an email from Olivia.
Hi, Lena and Ian. I'm a little behind, but I was just listening to Prom Queen and I have some thoughts, feelings, and emotions about Queen Bee Quinn. And the comment Ian made at the end about her motivation and her losing Prom Queen being the inciting incident that shapes the rest of her arc in the coming season, as Kay put it, her becoming the Joker. You talked a little at the end about her pregnancy and giving up her baby, and I definitely feel like it's such a huge part of her story that is so frequently forgotten. Mm-hmm. I think her entire season 2 arc is her essentially suppressing how she feels about giving Beth up. And as you said, her trying to attain the thing she wanted before she got pregnant without realizing that she has changed to such an extent that they are no longer fulfilling. Even with regards to Faberi, I think a big part of the reason Rachel understands Quinn more than most people is because of her identity as an adoptee and the sense of something being missing in her life, i.e. a relationship with her mom, which Quinn shares being a biological mother, not to mention the messiness of Shelby having adopted Beth. In Funeral, Finn says to Quinn, "Don't you feel anything anymore?" And Quinn cries a single tear and responds, "Is that me feeling enough for you?" It seems quite calculating, and I feel like she genuinely doesn't feel anything anymore, an intimation perhaps of postpartum depression. In season 2, Quinn is going through the motions of everyday life without feeling anything at all, putting on a performance of her old self that all comes crumbling down as she's confronted with the pain of her past in the upcoming episodes/season. Sorry for this lengthy email. I just wanted to write in and share my thoughts. Thanks for the podcast. It's nice to hear other people talk about the unresolved feeling I have about the show a decade later. Olivia, she, her. Olivia, you're so right. Quinn is going through the motions. Hence why way back when in our Buffy minisode, we cast her as Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Who that's famously has a song called Going Through the Motions.
I love this take. I think that is something that the writers don't think about enough. And also we as an audience don't really think about enough. Like we just finished up season 2, you know, mm-hmm. Like, have we even talked about the trauma that she's probably feeling? Like, you know, being a teen mother and then, like, you know, giving her baby up for adoption and, like, you know, is anyone even speaking to her about that kind of stuff? Like, she probably has so many unresolved feelings.
Yeah. Beth has not been mentioned.
No.
And then, like, Quinn having been pregnant is mentioned, like, 3 times in passing, mostly as a joke.
Yeah.
I just think that Quinn is done so dirty after season 1.
Yeah.
And it is like, because everything you said, Olivia, is such interesting story fodder that is all going on completely in the background.
Yeah.
Like, the writers could have so easily delved into Quinn grappling with having given her baby up and, like, believing it's the right decision, but still going through how hard that is. And they could have, like, really focused on her having these weird feelings of, like, she wants to be who she was, but she's a very different person and she wants to fit in with her friends. But, like, she's had this insane life experience that none of them can relate to.
Yeah.
And all of that would make for such an interesting story. And yet, it is all subtext.
Yeah,
they do
totally.
Not delve into any of it. Quinn. Quinn, they did you so wrong. Lucy, Quinn Fabre.
Wow. I loved that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm. Olivia, I really appreciate this take. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Last, but definitely, certainly, for sure, not least, we have a voicemail from Molly.
Hello, it's Molly, pronouns she, her. I just watched Funeral. It was a lot better than I remembered. Truly Ryan Murphy at his finest. And by the way, Jonathan Groff understood the assignment. Oh my god. But I came here for something different, which was a question about the musical Gypsy. So Kurt sang some people in this episode. It wasn't even on my Glee playlist. I, like, had completely forgotten about this song, but it was so good, and I loved how it, like, called back to Rose's Turn, which he sang in season 1, and that reminded me that I was like, you know, I really gotta watch the musical Gypsy, because it seems very good. And I remember that Ian said that you had a Gypsy phase after Rose's Turn. So I was wondering if you can give me any recommendations of, like, I know there's a movie, if that's good, or if, like, you have any slime tutorials you can recommend that are good, or if there's a pro shot or something. How should I watch Gypsy? What cast recording should I listen to? Would love to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Molly, I'm waiting for this question. Also, I agree. I did also watch Funeral and was like, wow, this is a lot better than I remember. Truly the sleeper hit of season two for me is Funeral. Now, on to Gypsy, baby.
Here we go.
Okay, everyone should watch Gypsy. You heard it here first. I have never seen the movie. There's like a Bette Midler one from the 90s and then like another one from the 60s or 70s. I've never seen either of them. But what I have seen is there is a professional pro shot recording of the West End production starring Imelda Staunton, who plays Umbridge in the Harry Potter movies. She's Mama Rose. It is very good. You can find it on Amazon Prime, but you have to pay to rent it. Or you can find it on Vimeo and it's just there. Maybe it will get taken down. I don't know. But as of the time of this recording,
don't freaking tell anyone.
As of the time of this recording, the pro shot is currently on Vimeo. There's also, so that's like a, that's a very good production and it's also a very high quality recording and it's just like watching a movie. There's also a slime tutorial of the revival from, I don't know, sometime in the last 15 years with Patti LuPone as Rose and Laura Benanti.
Yes, that's how Laura Benanti got her Tony.
Mm-hmm, as Gypsy Rose Lee. As Lena said, Laura Benanti got a Tony for it. Oof. I haven't watched the whole thing because frankly,
seen the bits in the dressing room with them and I cry.
Yes, I have a hard time watching slime tutorials. It's just like hard for me to get into them sometimes. So I haven't watched the whole thing, but I have watched the scenes that Lena's talking about at the very end of the show. Mm-hmm. And you watch them and you're like, oh, this is why Laura Benanti has a Tony.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Take
it's
my
very
Tony,
good.
Laura Benanti.
Seriously. Lena has, she's got some to spare.
I've got
take
several.
One of hers.
Here, come to my closet.
Cast recordings. It's all based on preference. I love Ethel Merman's version.
You do.
A lot of people prefer Bernadette Peter and Patty or Peter's Hello or Patti LuPone's version. It's just pick one and stick with it. But Imelda Staunton on Vimeo or Patti LuPone on YouTube, check them out. Also, the Patti LuPone one is straight up just called like Gypsy the Musical. Like you can just look that up and it will pop up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Molly. Happy Gypsy viewing. Congratulations.
Wow. You are a kid in a candy store when you're talking about musicals. I love you. All right, that's the end of our mini-sode. Are you ready to play the freaking game that we freaking love and we freaking win all the freaking time?
Oh, we've never lost it.
Never.
Never once. We're batting 1,000.
There was a moment there where I like got like 6 in a row.
You were doing so well.
I know.
You can blame it on the rehearsal process and that you're so stressed out that your musical ability is faltering.
Yeah. We've got like, what did Rachel have? Did she have like
an inner ear infection?
I have one of those, you guys. Give me a break. All right. What are the freaking songs of this freaking episode?
All right. Back to Black. Some People, Try a Little Tenderness, My Man, Pure Imagination. I think you went first last week.
Okay.
We're going to pretend that's correct.
I would like you to sing.
There's only one song that you're not allowed to ask me to sing because I don't know it.
Yes. I think you should sing Some People.
All right, here we go. Oh, gosh. Can I sing this right now? Let's find out. Okay. Claire, get ready because I'm also not going to belt this.
Yeah, don't.
Some people can get a thrill knitting sweaters and sitting still. That's okay for some people who don't know they're alive. Some people can thrive and bloom living life in a living room. That's perfect for some people of 105. But I at least gotta try. Okay, we're done. All right. Okay, that truly, Lena can attest to this, took me far too long to figure out what key I was in. But I think that some people can get a thrill is A to B flat to E flat to G flat to A to B flat.
Right.
Let's find out. Oh, I'm too high. I'm sharp. I'm a half step sharp.
Classic.
Ugh, I quit.
Fudge.
All right. You are going to sing, oh, gall. You know what? I want to hear that Rachel Berry impression, my man.
Okay. Oh, my man, I love him so. He'll never know. All my life is just a spare. But I don't care when he takes me in his arms. The world is bright. All right. What's the difference if I say I'll go away? It's not my Rachel Berry impression. When I know I'll come back on my knees someday. For whatever my man is, I am his forevermore.
Okay, I believe, I don't know this song very well. I believe, oh my man, I love him so, he'll never know, was, which is an E to C sharp to B to D sharp to G sharp to E again.
Right.
Oh, my man, I love him so. He'll never know.
You're on pitch.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Speech.
I'd like to thank not only Barbara Streisand, but Rachel Berry. It has been my audition song for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have been very disappointed in myself if I didn't get it. Even still, I was pretty confident I wouldn't get it. So I am. Thank you, Laura Bonanti. You can have this, Tony. You were very good at Gypsy.
Well, everyone, that's the mini snowed. Hope wow. You enjoyed it. Check out 2 days from now. No, yes, 2 days from now. Mm-hmm. Our episode on New York season 2 finale.
Whoa.
If you have thoughts on New York season 2 finale, you can send them to us over voicemail at anchor.fm/recoveringgleek, over email at recoveringgleek@gmail.com, baby.
Hells yeah. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Oh, it's almost cancer season. Take care of your hearts out there. It's going to get emotional. I'm serious. Love you guys. Here is a mini kiss on your mini forehead.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.